Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello. What we're going to share with you, as we go really talk about Psalms, how encouraging God is. You know, you think about the Lord and you think about His goodness and you think about all the things that He's done for you and through you and to you, just makes you well up with a heart of gratitude and appreciation. But there's something about being able to, the joy that we have, the pleasure that we have, the inheritance that we have as a son and daughter of God, that anyone who knows God, who's accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you have access to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Someone once said that he who kneels before God can stand up to anybody.
Right.
You know, and I often say that you know, if it's a president or you know, some political figure, but you know, president is the most powerful man in on earth, in the world, and he has great authority, and he has, you know, a few people that have access to him. There's people that come to see the president of the United States, no matter who the president is, and they'll wait 5-6 hours just to be able to have 5 minutes with the president.
Mm-hmm.
They have five. They will tell you have 5 minutes. You know, make it quick. You know, and say what you got to say because he's on the move.
Right.
He's on the move, and think about that. As a believer, you have access to God at any time that you want.
Yeah. For as long as you want.
For as long as you want.
Yeah. Mm.
And the thing is that you can have as much of God as you want.
Powerful.
The question is how much do you want?
Yeah.
Because God doesn't put no limit on it. He doesn't put no cap on it. You can have as much of God as you want. You can spend as much time as you want with him. You can talk to him. He has an open door policy. He's available all the time.
Mm.
And you are invited not to sit in a chair. You can come sit on his lap. You know what I mean? Because people often talk about, you know, that they maybe fear the rejection or there's a distance. Listen, you don't have to strive for anything with God. You can't get much closer than his lap. You know what I mean? You're already there. You can't get much closer. If you're a son and daughter to God, there's no performance necessary because he loves you. Mm-hmm. He loves you. And Psalms 130 talks about, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, out of the depths. Where is that today? You know, there's a depthness inside of us that is only satisfied when we literally cry out unto God. And we talked about in the beginning of the hour about, you know, you can get so caught up with the busyness of life and so many things going around that maybe you do a drive-by prayer. You do the drive-time prayer. You're praying as you're dropping kids off and you're running to work and all. Listen, pray all the time. Proverbs says, pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. But there's a time. There's a dedicated time. You know, when you want conversation with someone, do you want to talk only when you're in the car, or you're preoccupied, or when you're building something, or when you're washing dishes, or when you, is that the, no, you want undivided, personal, one-on-one, eyes, look at me, let me see you,
right.
Mouth is moving, don't be distracted. Put the remote down. Turn the TV off. Just go ahead and turn the TV off. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, God's no different. We love on him by giving him undivided attention. We love him by setting time apart, not just to pray about us and for us, but we cry out, not for him just to rescue him. We cry out to him of desperate need for who he is.
Mm-hmm.
In humility, we say, God, God, I need you. So he says, out of the depths, I cry out to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Hear my voice. And the word of God says that his ears are not too dull and his arms are not too short. ears not dull that he can hear you, and his arms not too short that he can't reach out to you. He says, oh, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy.
Mm.
And that's one. I definitely want him to hear that. When I need mercy,
oh, yeah.
I need him to hear mercy, please. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? If he kept the record, who could stand?
Mm-hmm. Not one of us.
Not one of us. And the beautiful thing about God is that he separates our sins as far as the east is from the west, and he's not into bringing remembrance to your sin.
He forgets them.
That's the most powerful thing about forgiveness. When people say that I forgive you, well, you need to forgive like the Lord forgives. When God forgives, he forgives, and it's like he doesn't even bring it to mind. It's gone. It's done. Yeah. It's finished. You bring it up to him, I don't know what you're talking about. See, that's forgiveness. That's why when you offer forgiveness to someone, you need to understand that forgiveness means I'm releasing you of this offense, of this hurt, of what has happened. And true forgiveness means I'm never mentioning it again.
Yeah.
I'm never mentioning it again.
Forgetting goes with the forgiving.
Well, that's the whole part of it. That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say you forgive,
right,
and you bring it back up again, and you bring it back up again, and you bring it back up again,
yeah,
because remember that love keeps no records of wrong.
Yeah,
we talked about yesterday about entrusting yourself to the one who judges justly. Leave that all with God. But it says if you were to keep a record of sins. Pat's file would be very long, by the way, but, you know. he's sticking out his chest now. My would be too.
I've been forgiven much.
You've been forgiven much. I have been forgiven much. And still need his forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
But he says, oh, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. These words that we become so familiar with, people wax over them like it's not, oh, forgive, you know, just love. It's like, do you understand the power of these words? Do you understand the magnitude of what you're saying? What true forgiveness is? I think about all the folks in John G. Lake's ministry that couldn't get healed because they held unforgiveness. So many people today are bound.
Mm-hmm.
They're bound with sicknesses, bound with all sorts of ailments, and a lot of those ailments are the result of their refusal to forgive and let go and let God.
That's right.
And what happens is that when you have unforgiveness, you yourself are the one that's bound up in chains.
Mm-hmm.
You're bound up inwardly, and your body begins to be bound up.
That's what the word says. It says you'll be tortured and tormented the day you forgive.
Yeah.
Think about that. It's powerful.
That's huge.
It's huge. So he says, but with you there's forgiveness, therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. That's so important because how many times are we tempted to just rush into things with God or rush into abide or rush in? It's like there is a waiting period. When you pray, is it a laundry list of God, what can you do for me, bail out for me? Is it, you know, God has two-way communication. It's not just about us talking to God, but it's about us listening and waiting.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. The Bible says to be still. Be still and know that I'm Lord. It's okay to wait upon the Lord. You know, and oftentimes people that don't wait on the Lord see that as maybe non-lack, you know, lax, if you will. No, it's actually exercising humility. It's saying, I'm going to be silent right now before God. I'm going to wait on him because I want to hear, I honor what he has to say.
Because that answer is worth the wait.
Absolutely.
Totally worth it.
Says, my soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Watchmen would stand on watch all night and they couldn't fall asleep. And if you've ever stayed watch on any kind of time, you know you're waiting for that shift to be over. It's like, is the sun coming up? Is the sun? Because I can't fall asleep on my watch. They're eagerly anticipating that sun to rise because that means I'm going to be get some relief. I can get off of this wall. I can get off of this watch, and I can get some sleep. Mm-hmm. But there's a yearning. There's an intensity. There's an expectation. Where is the sun?
Yeah.
Where is the sun? Because I got to get off this watch. Are we living a life like that where we're eagerly anticipating and seeking God at every turn, at every corner? Are we saying that we have so much to do today that I don't have spent time with God? Or are we saying I have so much to do today that I can't afford not to spend time with God?
That's right.
There's two different perspectives here, right? So he says, my soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for morning. And we get to say, oh, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love. And this is what the Bible talks about. It's that what man desires and what you and I desire is unfailing love. Love me for me. There's nothing like that. For when someone begins to love you for you, all your defects and quirks and all the things that you know, but they love you. And to think that God loves you for you, there's not a single thing that you have to do to earn his love. I love this psalm. It's an encouragement for us to seek him. It's an encouragement for us to be authentic with him. It's an encouragement for us to wait and be so filled with what he has to say and what he wants to do, and understanding in true humility that we can't do a single thing without him.
Amen.
I want to encourage you today to wait on the Lord. I want to encourage you today to cry out to Jesus. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what trial, listen, we can't do this on our own. You can't live this life on your own. No man is an island. The end of all of that doesn't end good for you.
Yeah.
We were made to live together with the Lord. I want to encourage you, cry out to him. Seek him with everything you have, like a watchman who's been sitting watch all night, waiting for that sun to rise. Look for the Lord, call out to him, and he'll be found. God, we're talking about how good he is. We're talking about crying out to him. If you missed before the break, you got to listen to it. It's about, we need to cry out to him. He's amazing. He's wonderful. We need to cry out to him with everything we have. We need to look at for him like the watchman looks for the sun.
Amen.
Is the sun rising? And remember that sometimes the darkest, you know, the darkest part of the day is in the morning, right before the sun comes up. Maybe you're going through a dark time in your life. You need to cry out to him. You need to look for the sun. You need to be aware. And the other thing, too, is that you need to yearn for God. I saw this before. I saw some experiment they were doing about how long someone can hold their breath, and I don't have the full context of it, but what I did get out of this experiment, what they were showing, I don't recommend this, but they were holding someone's head under water, and the guy said, don't let me come up until, you know, I can't do it any longer type of thing, you know, so he was there for, one guy was a few seconds, whatever, and this guy came in, and he was like there for a while, and everyone was like, oh, what, you know, how long is he staying under, how long, you know. And the guy comes, his head racing out of this big old barrel of water, and he's, you know, panting. And the man looks over, and he's talking to a bunch of young people, and he says, that's how you want to be desperate for God. You want, as desperate as you are for that, to breathe right now, that's the safe place to be. God is our oxygen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We can't live without him, and it's not an option. And if, look how far, you know, if he's not your every breath, if he's not your absolute need right now, it just shows you how much we need to turn our hearts and our lives back. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm amazed at how many times, you know, God is not even a secondary choice on people's mind. He's a third and fourth and fifth choice. It's like, listen, he needs to be number one.
Yeah, exactly.
He needs to be number one. He just needs to be your highest value. Because let me tell you, tomorrow is written in a fool's calendar. All you have is today. In fact, really all you have is this moment. Because at any time, anything can happen. And you're gone. You're slipping into eternity. And the question is, where will you be in eternity?
Yeah.
Listen, heaven is real, but so is hell. And listen, just by reading the Bible alone, I can gather that heaven is a whole lot better. I don't want to go to hell. But I want to be with Jesus. And he wants to be with you. But we can determine, we talked about this in the first hour, the seeds, the actions, what we do today can determine and oftentimes determines what our life will be tomorrow. Well, let me tell you, what you do right now, your decision for God right now, makes all the difference in the world. Choose Him today. Cry out to Him.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
All right, guys, admit it. You'd prefer to leave all the holiday planning and prep to your wife. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Dr. Greg Smalley suggests that you really ought to step up and pitch in.
And I know one of the things that Erin often says, I love it when you ask me what I can do to help, but she said it's very different though when you take initiative and you just jump in. Because in some ways, when I have to ask her constantly, what can I do to help? What do you need from me? It almost implies like, hey, this is really ultimately your responsibility. I'm just kind of here to help. and it's great to have that attitude that I want to serve you, so ask each other. But also, I think for the guys, it goes a long ways when we just look around, find things to do, jump in, and get them done.
More advice from Greg Smalley on navigating the holidays today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We want to share about taking the land. you know, taking the land is so important because God has a place for you. He has something for you to do.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he got something for you to do. And we find that, you know, when God was moving with the Israelites and God was using Moses, God was bringing them, the Israelites, into a land that was flowing with milk and honey. God had a place for them. For them, it was a territory. For you, it could be a ministry. It could be a job. It could be something that just God wants to do. Mm-hmm. But he was bringing them to a place, a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And it was just God was doing it.
Right.
But, you know, just because God wants to do something for you, just because God has a plan, doesn't mean that you're going to get it hand-delivered, wrapped up in pretty, paper,
right,
with a nice little bow on it. You're going to have to do something, right?
Yeah.
Christmas.
It's going to require some effort, yeah.
It's going to require effort. It's going to require faith. It's going to require your act. It's going to require humility. I mean, it's going to require, how we say this, everything.
Yeah.
It's going to require everything.
Yeah. Death to self.
That's right. So in Numbers 13, Moses says, listen, I want you guys to go out there and spy out this land. I want you to explore Canaan. I want you to go through Negev, go into the hill country here. And I want you to tell me what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak or few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? Talking about their walls. Mm-hmm. How is their soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. And so he's sending them out to spy it out. Go check this place out because God's bringing us there.
Mm-hmm.
So he sends them out and they're gathering all this information because, you know, when God says you do something, you got to put a plan of action together. Now, let me tell you something about putting a plan of action together and developing plans with God, okay? The first thing is that understand that you don't want a plan. We talked about this on yesterday, just so happens.
Yeah.
That starts in the heads of men. You want a plan that starts in the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we're not trying to get God to bless our plans. We're trying to hear God and say, God, what do you want to do? You're the author of this thing. What help me to formulate the plan. And since this is your plan,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to take each step as you direct, as you lead. And if you feel free at any moment, to change, I guess what, you know, since you're the one driving this car, you're the one, you know, the captain of this ship, since you're the one piloting this plane, whatever you say, God, then I'll do, since this is your plan,
right?
Mm-hmm. And so you want to get that plan. So they're gathering this information, and then they basically come on back, and in verse 20 through 26 through 33, they begin to start giving a report to Moses on what they saw. And they go into this, you know, long, dreary thing. And they say, we did see the land flowing with milk and honey. And here's the fruit. When in verse 28 of chapter 13 in Numbers, the word God says, but the people who live there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites live there in Negev. And so then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who got up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And it's like, wait a second. You know, there were people that saw the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
They saw it, but they were looking at it with a different paradigm, with a different pair of glasses. Let me tell you something. No matter what you're looking at, if you have prejudices, if you're have a preconceived mindset of how things need to be or how they're going to see, nothing in the world is going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape. He'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work, he will normally call a people out from what he presently or in the past established so he can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation, you know. And one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times, you know. But either way, it's for our generation, you know. And at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. It's or the suggestion. It's the great commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass. I mean, how did it happen? And it came from a compelling and a word and a direction from God, and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct. It just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction. And Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the word of God, that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves. And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that as you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function. You know, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, and especially the American board business mindset, that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but it's not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is, you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus, and understanding how it controls God, and understanding the importance of being rightly related. And the, you know, there's biblical daily, weekly, there's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in his word, and you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU that it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifest in your life. And we want to see you in the Great Commission. We're in agreement with you. Find out more at VFNU.org. That's VFNU.org.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello. I want to give a shout out to my beautiful wife, Teresa, who is listening.
She is beautiful, man. I'll tell you what, way above your pay grade, man. You are blessed.
That's right.
Yeah, I was thinking about her, you know, when I was marrying Amber on the beach, and, you know, when I married you guys years ago, you know.
I know.
And, you know, Teresa, she's still beautiful today, but she just like an angel. Her dress was blowing in the wind out there in that white sand, and she was just barefoot going around, and she's just... She's really, I mean, she's stunningly beautiful, man. Isn't it amazing?
Oh,
I mean, how do you walk into her presence, you know what I'm saying, without just kind of covering your eyes a little bit and just going, I'm just glad to be here, baby. Thank you so much.
Moving on.
Moving on.
She's beautiful.
It's the 4th of July, by the way.
Oh, you did? How'd it go?
Oh, very good, very good. Had some time with the family. We did a nice barbecue cookout out there in the backyard. And
hey, what about that big Tyrannosaurus Rex that's under your deck or something in the back? I mean, remember we were sitting on that deck, and we were sitting there talking, you know, and we were reminiscing, as somebody once said, and. And I looked over and saw this huge hole right to my right, about 12 inches to my right next to the deck. I said, what? Yeah, it's a beaver, man. It's a horse hole, man. That thing's huge.
Dude, it scared me to no end when I saw that thing come on out.
How big is it?
Those things lived in Jersey.
How big is it?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it has to be about 3 feet. I mean,
what was it?
It's long and it is fat.
It's a beaver, I think.
Oh, it's a beaver?
It's a beaver, man, I think.
It's a badger something, man.
It's
but it
a badger,
is
Tyrannosaurus Rex or something. And it lives up under that place there, that hole in the ground. I think it could be the chemicals from the plant.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? They got a hold of that thing.
Could very well be.
Well, you know, so, go ahead.
I was telling you, I was wanting to do something special for my kids, and so they wanted to go into the pool. So... It was a very, very hot day yesterday
up
here. Okay?
It could be hot. Is it hot there?
Oh, my goodness. It gets hot in Jersey. Believe it or not, it gets hot. In fact...
It's a different hot. It's a concrete hot.
Oh. It's like a sauna hot, okay? I mean, it is coming off of the concrete, okay? It's baking you, all right? So this is well in its 90s, and so my little girl, she wants to go in the wanga. Now, that's baby talk for water, by the way, wanga.
Mm, wanga.
And so she wanted me to get the pool together for her, this inflatable pool. So I take my son out to get some air in this inflatable pool. I'm thinking, we're just going to get a little bit of air, not too much, and we'll finish the rest at home. But this thing was filling up so fast, okay, that we wind up filling up the whole pool with air. Now, this thing's about 8 feet long. Now, you can imagine.
Okay. All right. I thought you were talking about Olympic pool or something. Okay.
No. This is an 8 feet, you know, 2.5 foot high wall type of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so it didn't fit in the car. So I'm looking at my son. He's looking at me. And then I'm looking for anyone with a phone or any kind of evidence to see what we're going to do with this pool. And I'm looking at these two young teenagers on the right of me, and they're just having a ball laughing at us because there's no way we're going
to... I think I saw that on YouTube.
Yeah. I'm afraid of that. It's me. Oh, I said, Elijah, you ready? He was ready for what?
That's Elijah.
You got to carry this thing, man. So here's me and my son. We're walking down Market Street, okay?
Wait a minute. You guys are walking down Market Street with a swimming pool?
Yes, but don't tell anyone, okay?
I think it's a little late. It kind of reminds me of the boy that was dragging the whole bicycle box up to the Bronx, right?
My gosh, in Times Square, yeah.
He was in Times Square, and he's going to drag that box. You guys, you city folk, man, you are amazing. So you're dragging this pool.
Way, okay? Because I love my boys here, my daughter. So we're walking with this huge pool, okay? Now, I'm calling my wife to see if I can get some sort of compassion pickup or, you know what I'm saying, a delivery back to the car. And, you know, 5 rings, 6 rings, you know, nothing. Don't know where the phone might have been buried. I don't know. She's probably very busy getting ready. So we finally make it to the house. We're drenched in sweat. We drop it off in the back. We walk inside. We go, hey, where were you guys? They're sipping on Coke, having a good old time talking. I tell you, it was hot. We made it, but it wasn't funny. It was a job. It was a job, but they enjoyed it. They got in the water and they had a really wonderful time enjoying the family and having a cookout. And it's a beautiful, beautiful day. Once we cooled off, of course.
This wasn't over your head. I mean, how deep was the pool?
Oh my goodness. Only two feet, but you know.
That's a puddle. That's not a pool.
At that age, it's were pretty high for her, wasn't it?
Oh goodness. Yeah. She was splashing away. Didn't want to get out.
That is so cool. Cause you know, very, very rarely do you get in the city to get to go swim. And I can imagine what the taxes would be on in a pool there. And
oh my God.
I know what the house taxes are like.
One of the things we want to talk about here in the extra hour is, you know, our relationship with the Lord, you know, and do we want a relationship with the Lord that's rules, or do we, or relationship?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have both. You can't have both, which causes me to think about the Pharisees, Pat, Chris, the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the core of the Pharisees' religious experience, right, it's all outward actions that were meant to look godly, but they were truly void of inner conviction of God.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you look at them, as we read in the scriptures, as we read in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John,
mm-hmm.
we're consistently seeing that the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders at the time, they had the flowing robes, the phylacteries.
Oh, yeah.
They had all this stuff that looked religious, but it was all outward actions meant to look holy, godly. But it was truly void of the inner conviction of God, because they were constantly dealing and lying and attacking God himself, Jesus. Everything they did in terms of serving God was all about this outward actions. I mean, anything that you could set an alarm clock to remind you to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
In fact, rules, the word says, taught by men. You know, all you need is a rule book and a timer, and you can do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's rules. And you know, they were more concerned of what others thought with little regard to what God was thinking. And that's so, so important. That's so important,
mm-hmm.
because rules focuses on people. It focuses on do's and don'ts, but it doesn't focus on God.
Mm-hmm.
If we're focusing on God, we're focusing on a relationship with the Lord. We're focusing on, Lord, what do you think? What do you have to say? And Jesus always had words for the Pharisees. The strongest rebukes were always against the Pharisees, because they were messing up the message here.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't the example. Looking at the Pharisees, we can actually see that, listen, you can know everything about God and still not know God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they alone proved that point, because they studied and studied and studied and studied, and yet they had a veil to who God actually was in their midst,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right?
And so God doesn't want us to live out of outer actions. He doesn't want us to live he wants us to live out of inward righteous convictions that causes us to do or not to do out of a relationship with God. He didn't say, here's a rule book, here's a list of do's and don'ts,
all right,
and check back with me in a month.
Right.
You know, he didn't give us a rule book. He gave us a living book.
Right.
It's a love letter. But there's two approaches that we can take. We can take the approach of a Pharisee, which says, I'm going to study and I'm going to try to learn everything about God, and I'm going to try to come to God in my brain and follow a set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can take the approach that says, I want to fall in love with God, receive his love, and out of love, be led to do's and be led to don'ts. I mean, if you think about rules that are, they're all around us. They're all around us. Take speeding limits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't resent the speeding limits, because we realize that this is a good thing. If we want to live, if we want to protect our children, we don't want people driving 100 miles an hour all over the place, much less a teenager who just got their driver's license, right?
Exactly.
But we say that this is a good thing because it sets parameters that help us to what? Stay alive. Right. You know what I'm saying? God gives us in his words commandments that will help us to stay alive in him. I mean, he is the one that, you know, you always have to look to the manual to find out what the inventor of whatever product made. What, you know, what does the manual say? How to operate it, how to use it. Mm-hmm. How not to destroy it, how to disassemble it, how to maximize the use and the lifespan of the appliance or thing that you purchased.
Right.
But how many are not even looking at the manual, the living book, the Bible, right. God's love letter to us on how we should relate to him, how we should relate to others, how we can have true eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's word.
That's right.
But the Pharisees, they were concerned. In Mark 7, they were concerned. This is what they were concerned was about. This is what gets me.
Right.
They were concerned with why the disciples that were with Jesus didn't ceremonially wash their hands before they ate. This is what they were concerned about. They said, we always wash our hands before we eat. And the question is just like, as ridiculous as that sounds to us today, have we got caught up in religious performances, going through the motions of ceremonially, quote unquote, washing of hands, yet we are void of the inner conviction with God? Let me tell you something. Just because you start out right with God, there's a way that because you don't have a relationship, that maybe there is no abiding, you're not spending time with the Lord daily because you know what the right thing to do. You know what's the right thing to do? You do it, but it's not out of relationship. It becomes rules. Do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to live this do life.
That's right.
You want to live a relationship life with the Lord. In verse 8, Jesus says, he told them, you have let go of the commands of God. You've let them go. You let go of God's word and are holding on to the traditions of men. And that's where you see the separation. If you're seeing where only 19% of the church is actually abiding and spending time with the Lord, is our religious experience, is our encounter, our Christianity with the Lord more of a traditions with men? Do we know more of the traditions of what we've learned than what we know of the word?
Right.
I've heard people misquote things in the Bible and say that this is no, is it actually the Bible does not say that. The Bible, no, I never heard that before.
Right.
Because it's not in there.
Right.
But they've got so accustomed with religion, religiosity, that they don't have the truth. And this is God's warning us. God's calling us to a place where, listen, rules are not going to cut it. Because God's never designed us to live out of rules alone. He's designed us to walk with him based out of a relationship that's just nurtured in love. It says, if you love me, my commandments are not burdensome for you. If you love me.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on... You see in the upper right-hand corner, you click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now.
Mm-hmm.
And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news, you need to know what to do with the news you know.
to have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married, or why you're going to need to stay married, or why you need to have family, or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for the Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
So what is this stuff now? I know that, you know, Steve was leaving last night. We got a chance to spend some time together. He was in the secret place and all that. Mm-hmm. And like you got him some slap your mama hot sauce. Is that right?
I did.
Are you serious?
I did. Yeah.
What is slap your mama hot sauce? I can't believe that you would even think of your mother is so sweet.
Well, it's not something you actually do.
Well, actually,
what?
Mother bought her own slap your mama hot sauce.
Are you serious?
She did. I was blown away. I found it in my cupboard the other night. I was like, where did this come from?
So your mother bought you slap your mama.
Yeah.
Sure did. Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So then, well, I'm not going to buy any slap your mama. You know what I'm saying? It just sounds kind of like, it sounds like slap your mama. You know? Why do they call it slap your mama? So why not?
Well, there's a southern saying, I guess you would call it.
If we get any further south, we'll be in Mexico. We're talking about southern. I don't know about
slap your mama. We'll probably Louisiana more than anything. I guess it kind of drifted over here to the east. But, you know, when something's so good, it's just like, man, it's so good. It just makes you want to slap your mama.
Did your mama ever get you something nice for Christmas or anything like that? That's terrible. You mean if something good happens, you slapped your mother?
Well, no, food. Something that you eat.
Didn't she fix you dinner and stuff?
Yeah.
Was anything good?
Yeah, all the time.
Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
How many times did you slap mom?
You slapped your mother?
I never slapped her.
You said, but it's a southern way of doing things.
That's a southern saying. That's what saying.
Shoo. Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness. I'm thinking, that's terrible.
I never knew.
Yeah, my mother would say, well, he bought that once. He bought that once. He ain't buying that no more.
Yeah, I said it to obviously. Steve one day. We were fixing to eat something. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of Christmas ribs,
actually. He's from Detroit Lions.
He's from Detroit. And they don't have, apparently, they don't have hot sauce or anything spicy up north. So we've indoctrinated him to hot sauce since he's been here.
So what does it taste like? What does slap your mama taste like?
It's just real hot, spicy, you know, Tabasco-y.
If you had to compare it to nuclear waste and...
Not quite that hot.
So it's hot?
That's toxic. It's really hot, yeah.
Is it really?
You probably couldn't. You probably wouldn't like it.
Like that wasabi sauce?
Wasabi?
Wasabi?
That's a different type of sauce.
Oh, wasabi.
Oh.
Wasabi.
Whoa. I love that. You're wasabi. That's very good. Chris seldom he seldom says anything wrong. We got to get the wasabi.
Yeah.
The oh.
We can make a segment out of that.
You spell that wasabi. So it's hotter than?
Wasabi?
Yeah.
It's a different type of heat. Wasabi will just clean your sinuses completely out if you have any problems.
Oh, we don't need any details here. What happens with your system? So why don't you just like throw a match in your mouth? I don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, if you eat,
it's just I enjoy the burn.
You're a fire swallower, like the guy in the circus where they swallow fire, right?
Not quite.
You think about it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me. It was Second Street.
Always goes back to Second
Street. Yeah, Second Street, or Carver. Anyway, we won't talk about Carver. So I'm looking at a bottle right now online. It is called Slap Your Mama.
Yes, it is.
But they have powder Slap Your Mama and liquid Slap Your Mama.
Yeah. I bought him both, actually.
You did?
I got him the powder and the sauce.
Well,
it's seasoning, you know, you put on your stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Well, it was just a new thing for me. I just didn't realize. When I saw it, I said, oh, it's hot sauce. And you're telling me, like, slap your mama. I should have read it. I could have bought some for my mama. That would have been terrible. Well, Steve, don't slap your mama. She's a very sweet lady. Very sweet lady.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light.
with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
And so our walk with God is not about a list of do's and don'ts, but relationship and our inner relationship with the Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
From that inner relationship, we may be led to do or not to do certain things, but whatever we do, mm-hmm. whatever it is that we do or don't do, it's rooted and established from love and a relationship. It's not an obligation. That's the whole point that we're trying to underscore, because it's so important. There's some things that we can do to safeguard and say, wow, has this, you know, Matthew West has a song that says, I don't want to go through the motions.
All right.
I don't want to live one more day without your all-consuming passion living inside of me.
Mm.
This is Matthew West's song.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Powerful song. But what happens when we are tempted to make a transfer from relationships, because we started out right,
mm-hmm.
but now we got caught up in ceremonially washing of hands, doing the right thing because we know what's right,
right.
yet we have no inner love or relationship. Our love has grown cold.
Right.
Revelation says, hey, turn back to your first love. Turn back to your first love. So there's some safeguards. What can we do? Well, we need to be aware of our prayer life with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little prayer life is a good indication that something's missing. No abiding, that's a great indication that something's missing. And you hear us talking about abiding, and maybe you may be new to VFN Radio today or the last week, as many are coming on to VFN Radio daily. We're often talking about having an abiding relationship, a relationship where you are reading God's word daily, you're hearing his voice, and you're journaling. A little bit of what God is telling you for that day. If you don't have a simple plan, and you've been hearing about us and hearing us talk about this, and you're desiring that the Lord's moving on your heart, listen, we have a plan for you. You can go to iabide.org and request this plan. It's free of charge, and we'll send it out there to you. It's our gift to you. But we want to help you have this abiding relationship with the Lord. And one of the things that we can do as we're praying and evaluating, have I been even talking to God? Is he on my mind in the morning when I wake up? Is he on my mind throughout the day? Is he the last thing that I think about before I go to bed?
Mm-hmm.
Is one of the things we can start praying is, Lord, help me never to do something outwardly that I'm not living inwardly.
Mm.
I mean, that's a powerful thing to pray. Lord, help me never to do something outwardly that I'm not living inwardly. I mean, people see behaviors. Right? We learn as a kid, you do the right stuff. People look at, okay, I'll get mm-hmm. the star. You know,
right.
Act right. Can I get the star? You know, children,
right.
Children love the star.
They'll do anything for that little.
My daughter loves the stickers. Yes, sweetheart, I will give you a sticker. Yes. But God sees straight into our hearts, our minds, and our thoughts. He's not caught up with the outward. And he said, Isaiah, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. He's looking at their hearts, right? He's looking at our hearts. And so a prayer that we can begin to start praying, right, here's a suggestion. Lord, help me from acting holy while not being holy in my thoughts. That's a good start, right? Lord, help me from doing a ceremonial washing that outwardly shows that maybe I am trying to do a holy thing or look religious, right? Got the holy tilt of the head, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All
right.
These outward prayers, yet inwardly, all the while I don't have holy thoughts. Here's another prayer. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, from guarding the words from my mouth. Help me from guarding the words I speak from my mouth while I'm saying those same words in my heart. Help me not saying these words out loud so that people can hear them, but I'm still saying them in my heart. No. Remember, we want never to do something outwardly that we're not doing inwardly.
Right.
Right? Here's another prayer. Lord, help me, Lord, from guarding, help me from not watching things with my eyes before men while I'm watching them in the imagination of my mind. Outward, right? No, God, help us to live that heart conviction towards you. Here's another one. Help me, Lord, from not lying to others with spoken words while I'm living a lie in my heart. And we're talking about the difference between having a rules-centered relationship, I mean, approach to God, not a relationship, but a rules-centered approach to God, which is really not a relationship at all. What the Pharisees were trying to do is know their way to God through information and knowing about him, or you can experience God through revelation and through relationship based out of love. It's the only way that God wants us to approach him. It's just out of love. But we were talking about that just the other day, about our gratitude to God, a thank you to God, how we can give the rest of our lives to him.
All right.
We're talking about unless a seed died, it's still just a seed, but we're willing to sow our lives for him out of gratitude and appreciation for what he's done. But these are prayers that we can actually begin to search ourselves and say, God, help me, because I don't want to go like David West says. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to live just one more day without your all-consuming passion living inside of me. We were made to love and be loved by God. Right? And God is never fooled. It's one thing we have to know, right? God is never fooled with outside acts or performances, but he looks straight into our heart. We're just fooling ourselves. Maybe you've been on a treadmill today. Maybe you've realized that, I don't know how this happened, but maybe I slipped into rules. I know to know what's right to do, and so I've been living the last month, 3 months, 6 months, year. I don't know. Out of rules, doing what I know to do, but my heart, my relationship, I haven't spoken to Jesus. Little things have crept into my heart, into my life, and I'm more focused on my outward, external walk that shows maybe others and that maybe I know God, but inwardly, what God is looking at, my true heart, is the direct opposite. I want to tell you that, listen, this is what it means to love God. It's what it means to serve God with all your heart. You can today, make that choice and say, Lord, I want to love you with all of my heart,
right,
with all of my mind, with all of my soul, with all of my strength. But I want to serve you from a relationship base, not a rules base. Listen, it's not about do's and don'ts. Before I came to God, Pat, I thought my perception was that God was up there with a paint stick and
big, yeah.
Yeah, every time I did something wrong, he just was, you know, there was a whack. Because I didn't know him. Right. I didn't know him. But no, God indeed loves us. And he plans for us to be with him and have our relationship with him out of love. And not to set aside his word for the traditions of men. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been talking about rethinking church. And it's okay to start rethinking some things. To rethinking what it means, church. And we talked yesterday, is the church we're presently doing church, is it preventing Jesus from having the church that he wants? Mm-hmm. You know, and the question is what you're doing today, is it preventing you from having a true relationship with the Lord?
Right.
You know, and guess what? You can have it today. You can walk with God. You can talk with God, and you can make that choice to say, Lord, I want to get this out of my life. I want to get any sin that maybe is crept. I want to repent of all of this. And I'll say, Lord, I want to have a heart relationship from you.
That's right.
That what I do from you is just strictly from my walk and my love and not from obligation or rules. I want to know you on the inside.
Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.